This entire season of Retronauts is fully funded by listeners like you thanks to Patreon. If you'd like to find out how you can help and get episodes a week in advance, head on over to patreon.com/retronauts. Thanks and enjoy the show. Hey everybody, this is Bob with a pocket mini fun size episode of Retronauts. Have we decided what we're calling these yet?
Retronauts Micro.
Retronauts Micro.
We were Metronauts Pocket. Now it's Micro.
So we're not going to fill your pocket. It might get lost in your pocket because these are going to be a lot smaller than your typical Retronauts pockets from last year, which were meant to be like 20 minutes but ended up being close to an hour or over an hour most of the time. So we're dialing back a bit and we're going to make these like super fast, super bite-sized focuses on various subjects that maybe couldn't fill an entire episode, Jeremy.
And we are off to a punchy start today.
We are. Let me explain this for 5 more minutes, what we're doing. So today I'm talking about Majora's Mask. It is my favorite Zelda game, period. 3D Zelda game, I will clarify. Link to the Past is like a beautiful, masterful work that may not be ever beaten on any scale in the history of mankind. Am I being hyperbolic, Jeremy, Chris?
Oh, I was waiting. Yeah. Oh. I don't think so. Well,
wait a minute.
Sorry.
Who is here today? I forgot to introduce you.
Hi, I'm Chris Antista.
Chris Antista from
Laser Time Show.
Awesome. And?
And I'm Jeremy Parrish.
That's right. Man, I am all discombobulated today, but...
You got to squeeze all this into 10 minutes, baby.
I know. I'm sweating already.
Ain't no time to do it right.
I don't want to create another argument, but... Because I never actually thought of myself as a Zelda fan, because one of my best friends has like 8 Zelda tattoos and knows everything. And then I played Hyrule Warriors. I'm like... I am upset. I don't like this at all. And this is not as a Zelda... Oh, I'm a Zelda fan. I had no idea. I played every Zelda game.
So it took something that insulted Zelda to make you realize that you like Zelda. So, Chris, what's your experience with
Zelda? So you're into negging is what you're saying.
Well, I didn't realize that, like, oh, yeah, I'm over 30 and I've played every Zelda, if not finished it.
Yeah.
I thought the last few Zeldas I hadn't finished until Link Between Worlds, which I love. And Majora's Mask is the one I have the least... I've sunk the least amount of time into because it is the weirdest.
It is the weirdest, and I think what you're saying is probably true for a lot of people because when it came out, and I pointed this out in a US Gamer article I wrote, but it came out the day the PS2 was released.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
that day, the only game that had space in my heart was Mega Man Legends 2.
Also released on that day?
That's insane.
Oh, wow. Wow, what a day for gaming. But you know what? That's why that game failed too, because... We were crazy about
the
PS2.
No, there were a lot of reasons.
Well, I mean, that's true. But for the sake of brevity, the PS2 knocked everything out of the water was there.
Because that launch lineup, boy oh boy.
Yeah, Kessin.
How about some Fantavision?
Ring of Red.
It was SSX.
How about SSX was the one game, right?
Ridge Racer 5, the copy I bought was defective and took like 3 or 4 minutes to load a single track.
Wow.
Yeah, it was great.
I don't know.
That is awful. But
start.
This is still rocking my Dreamcast.
This is not a PS2 podcast, but it is important to put this into context where Majora's Mask was seen kind of like a cynical cash-in on Ocarina of Time. It only took 2 years to come out. It reused a lot of the same resources as the game.
Remember when a game sequel coming out within two
years
was seen as cynical cash grabs?
Can you imagine? Yeah.
How we've evolved as a species.
We've devolved.
People don't really look at it because hasn't Zelda had a game every year? There are
almost, but
there have been almost annual Zelda games for quite a while.
But certainly, it's not the only guilty party.
No, but they're always incredibly different. Hyrule Warriors, if you're counting that,
I will not count
to Spirit Tracks, to Skyward Sword, to Link Between Worlds. Those are all vastly different games.
They are.
But Majora's Mask, and I remember the one thing that made me mad about it that made me stop playing Majora's Mask: depositing my money so I could start everything over, the cycle over again. I hated that. I hated, like, I was just getting into the exploration of the game, just getting into, like, where, oh, I'm finding my zone. I'm finding my chi, my core in this Zelda game. And it's like, nope, start over. And if you don't deposit your money, you lose it all.
I will tell you, I mean, we are getting down to, like, the minutiae of the game, but that is not a problem that will actually affect you in any meaningful way. I think depositing the money is just to unlock, like, rewards. Like, you don't have to do it. You don't really spend a lot of money on anything in the game. But if you earn money and then deposit it before the world flips back around to the cycle, you will keep that money in the bank and then you will build towards the next reward, like a heart piece or something. But
gosh, Bob, what cycle are you talking about?
The cycle of time, which is what Majora's Mask is all based on. In case you don't know, Majora's Mask is sort of like Groundhog's Day, right? The movie.
Every morning you wake up, I got you, babe.
Exactly. And you meet Annie McDowell on your
on your drive angry.
Watch out for the hole in the sidewalk where the water. Water, it's bad.
Needle Nose Ned, Ned the Head, he's one of my favorite characters in all of Majora.
And Link, man, that would be hideous. That'd be awful if he looked like Bill Murray.
Yeah, he sure as heck fire remembers you.
Yeah.
I think that's the Happy Mask salesman.
That's true, that's true. Oh my God, so many correlations. But the thing about Majora's Mask is people found it very disquieting, disruptive, whatever you want to say, because it disrupted the Zelda formula. It is its own thing completely. And the idea of having to do things over again or having the state of the world go back to its, you know, the clean slate is something people are very resistant towards because games are all about empowering you. They want to make sure it's like you are the hero. Everything you do changes the world. But in this game, Link, he is saving the world, but he is not important to the people around him. They are concerned with this end of the world that's happening and will keep happening through every cycle. And even if you help people, when the world resets, they are back to their previous miserable state. Yep. Like, you can beat those side quests in the game. And,
every bush you've cut down is back. Everything is as it was.
Yeah, exactly. And some people...
harnessing the power of the 64DD.
So did that bother you at all, Chris? I'm just curious.
It did. Okay. Now I'm much more willing to embrace it. But to me, Zelda's kind of a bit of exploration. And I was obsessed with the money thing just because... there's one thing Zelda trained me to do. It's like you're going to need to buy a bomb bag or something immediately. And they're going to present you with items and you're never going to have enough money. And then I'll probably go whack some bushes and get it. So I was really upset that like I know I'll get an extra boost in Zelda. So I always collect money. It doesn't – I know it's kind of meaningless. Rupees are kind of meaningless in a Zelda game.
But
that was the biggest irritation because it wasn't just one thing I had to reset. It was two things I had to do in like every 3 minutes.
It's more like it's about an hour if you don't use the spell that slows down time by half. But it's a little over 2 hours.
But that's what it is. You'll walk out somewhere and you're like I'm halfway through the cycle. I need to run back.
Yeah.
And if there was a fast track progress thing, I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, there is warping in the game, and like if you know how to exploit the time system, it gives you more than enough time. But I know a lot of people just can't handle the anxiety of having a time limit. And the same was said about Dead Rising, where I like the game, but a lot of people were like, I don't like having to start over. I don't like this pressure of having to get things done. Oh, go ahead, Jeremy.
I was just going to say, I think this game is going to go over a lot better in the remake because people have been trained to accept these kind of game circumstances. This the sort of like. You're kind of powerless to permanently change the game state because of the rise of games influenced by roguelikes.
Exactly. Would you think like...
Majora's Mask is definitely the Dark Souls of Zelda.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. Yeah. No, I want to ask you, like as someone who enjoys roguelikes, and I have my own answer, but do you think like this is a rogue-style system in this game?
Not exactly, but there's least, definitely... Oh, yeah. Sorry.
At least borrowing elements of rogue to like... I mean, it seems like Japanese developers love these roguish elements, not like strictly like... like essentially rogue, but like these little borrowings of the formula.
Yeah, I mean, a big part of the rogue concept is that the world procedurally randomly regenerates every time you play. And so, when you die, you lose everything. It's not quite along those lines, but I think there's enough spiritual similarity that people who have been playing things like Spelunky and, you know, Rogue Legacy, are going to say,
Binding of Isaac.
Oh, I get it. I get it. Like, people no longer necessarily – not everyone anyway. People who have become fans of these games have started to let go of the idea that empowerment has to be a permanent state in video games, that it's okay to go back to zero and to use your experience and the skills that you've developed to play more effectively and make more progress each time. And you know, even a game like an Etrian Odyssey where you're – making progressive ventures into a dungeon and getting a little further every time before you run out of resources and are forced to hightail it back to town in order to survive. Like that spirit is part of this. And I really think that the console gaming audience wasn't ready for that in 1999, 2000.
Right.
but maybe they are now.
I think you're right. Chris, you wanted to cut in?
No, like I just I was actually trying to remember the specific time back then, and I was a poor person.
Well,
but made it a point to buy every console, and yes, I remember like it. I my patience wore thin with this game, and then there was too many other distractions.
Right.
The PS2 came out, and then like all of a sudden, everything for Dreamcast that I've been looking at became like 75% off.
Yeah, this is like the Dreamcast would die earlier on in 2001. So yeah, it was like.
But right when the PS2 came out, like the games dropped and it like drastically, and I had. You know, I was still getting every system at that point. Still,
right.
But it was like, yeah, I don't have time to learn this.
Right.
It is very demanding.
I think if you look back at the console roguelikes from that era and look at the reception that games like Chocobo's Mystery Dungeon,
Evolution?
Torneko Lost Hope, Evolution,
oh, Evolution
by Sting.
Was a roguelike. Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Like all of those games were just – they received a critical drubbing.
Yeah.
No one in the press got them. And very few gamers that I interacted with on forums got them. They sold horribly. But that style of game has become really popular over the past 10 years.
Yeah. Definitely.
I know this was a big deal around the time of Wind Waker because the backlash to that game was pretty vocal, I would say. I mean, at least initially. Now people have been like, oh, we like this even more than regular Link now. We like Toon Link
kind
a lot. I mean, but it's not as immediate, like, that Link is like a Powerpuff Girl or whatever, you know, like what I heard initially. But what was I going to say? Oh, around the time of Wind Waker, people were like, where's the dark mature Zelda I want? Well, that's Darkstalkers and it sucks, but this was your dark mature Zelda. Everyone is about to die.
Yeah.
You see everyone in their final days of life, and every day their attitude changes. And like their schedules and their life has nothing to do with your accomplishments. They're going like, I don't know, they're reacting on their own terms.
Mm-hmm.
They're reacting some people are upset. Some people are in denial. Some people are happy about it. It is very – it's a very dark, disturbing game. And the worst part of the game – or it is enjoyable in its own sick way – is talking to people as the world is ending, like in those final few minutes when there are like earthquakes and the moon is like – you can just like reach up and kiss its big ugly face. You know? Like people are freaking out. It's just like – I have not seen that dark tone in a Zelda game, and the, like also the very very strange tone, which I think was also part of Ocarina of Time, but not as pronounced.
Video games don't really deal with the apocalypse very well. I kind of feel like
they deal with
Majora's
the,
Mask was almost like a reaction to Final Fantasy VII, where you spend the final portions of the game with the meteor about to strike the planet, but no matter how much you fart around, it never gets any closer. Like you can breed hundreds of generations of chocobos so that you can get a gold chocobo and find the Knights of the Round.
Right.
How much time does that represent? I mean, chocobos, you know, they probably take a few months to have a baby.
Eggs,
like, so, you know, it kind of breaks the immersion and people will be like, oh, there's a thing in the sky, but that's pretty much it. And the closest I ever came to writing a Final Fantasy fan fiction was actually...
You dodged a bullet.
I dodged a bullet. It died after a couple of chapters, and it's gone forever. But
I don't believe
I wanted to... No, I wanted to write a story about people who were just like living in that world as Meteor came closer and closer to striking, because that's something that the game didn't really explore, and it was more interesting to me than the story of the actual heroes. And Majora's Mask is basically that.
There was a movie that came out semi-recently, a comedy... something like Looking for a Friend at the End of the World. But
yeah.
I didn't see it, but like the premise was certainly like, no, everybody knows they're about to die.
I liked that movie. It was
kind of good?
Surprising.
I haven't seen it.
I mean, it's not a masterpiece, but it's definitely...
The same thing you say about the concept. It is a bunch of people coping with imminent death.
Yeah, not to spoil anything, but it does end with the world ending.
Oh, nice.
Like there's no out. Like there's no, oh, the scientist saved us at the last minute. And it just becomes progressively more like... People are strung out, but some people cling to their routines. They're like, yeah, I'm just going to keep, you know, cleaning glasses here at this diner because that's what I do and that's how I'm going to cope with this.
That's what I wanted. For the Ocarina of Time 3D remake, I get it. And I'm like, actually, I've played this game too many times and I don't care.
That's why I haven't touched it. And I find that, like, the Zeldas that riff the most on Link to the Past are not the ones I'd like to revisit that often. I like the ones that try new and different things. And you can't get much more new and different than Majora's Mask.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why I'm so excited about it.
Yeah,
because it's the one I don't have any time with. It's the gap in my Zelda knowledge. And I'm going to be able to pick that up and play it in a modern with a modern presentation on probably my favorite platform at the moment.
And I'm sure you're not alone, Chris. And what makes – like when this game came out in 2000, it was not like – established that Zelda would forever follow the Link to the Past structure, which it has been, and I really hope that this
is the Ocarina structure, at least.
I think Ocarina was just kind of like Link to the Past in 3D.
It was. It was like the way Metroid Prime was Super Metroid
as a
first-person shooter.
But in this game, okay, immediately when you start the game, you're not human Link. You are trapped in a Deku Scrub body, and Deku Scrubs are the most pathetic creatures in the first game. They will beg for their lives if you knock them over and stuff like that. So immediately it disrupts your expectations there, but the game does not follow the Link to the Past formula at all. There are only four dungeons. The overworld is packed with things to do.
Yeah.
And all of Link's regular expected utility belt things are not there. Like, I hated Skyward Sword because it's like, here's
no
bat
shark repellent.
What's that?
No bat shark repellent.
No
bat earplug.
But I hated Skyward Sword for a lot of reasons, but I hated it because it was like, okay, here are all the weapons again, and it's like, I don't need a slingshot and a bow. Like, stop doing this. But in Majora's Mask, you have a ton of different items to use. It's not just the standard bombs and, you know, and bows and arrows and stuff like that. You have a bunch of different masks. You can transform into three different forms. It just is doing so much that is different that Zelda kind of stopped doing once. I think maybe they pulled back a lot from doing different things after Majora's Mask didn't light the world on fire. But I don't know what their expectations were for this game.
And I think I got nerve damage from Skyward Sword. So I would like that to be remade too in a platform I don't have to use my arm as much.
Was there a class action lawsuit for that?
It was really bad, man. I had to go to the hospital.
Really?
I don't know if that was it because I was also throwing bottle rockets during New Year's Eve.
At the same time?
Yeah, something during a – never mind. I don't want to – this isn't even 10 minutes. But during a lovely lovemaking session, my arm gave out and I couldn't sleep anymore because the pain was so intense from my neck.
Wow.
And I don't know what to blame to that. I threw a couple bottle rockets one night, but I did play a lot of Skyward Sword over the Christmas break.
So your mistake was being a nerd having sex.
I think
you heard it. Take it
from
Chris.
You betrayed us all.
What? I put my feet up on the ceiling. I did everything appropriately. It looked just like that hot coffee mode I saw on YouTube.
Take it from Final Chris. Fantasy music to set the mood.
Take it from Chris, kid. Save it for marriage or else
exactly.
God will smite you.
But so, this is the kind of game I think deserves the remake the most.
Yeah, I'm very excited for it, especially because it should be noted that this game looks like just hot garbage, like a big pot of steaming hot garbage just bubbling up on your stove.
Interactive origami.
Yeah. Even with the RAM cartridge, I mean, the N64 was never pushing beautiful graphics, but it was just like, especially in comparison to the PS2, which had just been released, looking at Majora's Mask was hard. And it's hard to go back to because of those N64 graphics. As much as they can get out of that system in the year 2000, it still wasn't enough.
That's when my fascination with Ocarina 3D ran out was when like I stopped looking at all the things they improved when I got bored with that because I know the game too well to have a ton of fun with it and sink that many hours into playing it again. But oh my god, look at that. Everything was the little subtleties. It wasn't just an up-resing. It's like a completely new models on everything, completely new textures. I haven't seen a lot of information in the new Majora.
Yeah, from what I heard, they are making some improvements to make things more immediate to people that maybe they didn't understand initially. But it should be noted that In the Japanese version of the game, things are much more difficult. Mm-hmm. In the American version of the game, there are these owl statues you can make basically quick save at.
Yeah.
In the Japanese version of the game, you can only save at the beginning of a cycle. So you have to play through an entire three-day cycle or end the cycle and start it again if you want to save your game, which is stupid. It's just like – so in the American version, they added a quick save. So I think maybe they're just letting the Japanese players know, like, this will be part of it too. So I'm pretty sure they're just adding the American improvements to the 3DS game. But I could be surprised. But as far as I know, they're not going to make any changes to make the time limit different or anything.
No,
like
I don't
that.
Think anything like that. Yeah. Just visually, I've seen. I don't know. The only thing I can think of off the top of my head is the 360 version of Banjo-Kazooie. That's what a N64 game with just a simple HD coat of paint looks like, and it's not pretty. But that Ocarina did one better. It's like and so did Star Fox to that extent.
I wish they would spend more time on it, but I know that like that's not realistic for just a remake. Like I wish that everything was just remade from the ground up instead of just, you know, adding more polygons to those old models. But
it's to me it's fascinating to see like I could trick a little kid into playing exactly what I loved. And he would think it's a game that came out yesterday.
Yeah.
He'll have no idea. And like nothing is you don't streamline any of the dialogue because that's how you'd really present an old Zelda game in a modern way. But
exactly.
It looks astonishing.
And I'm sure plenty of kids who were born after Majora's Mask will be playing this and falling in love with it like I did like 15 years ago.
And I'm sure their Master Chief Collection doesn't work yet, so they'll have to play it.
Of course. So yes, this was a Retronauts Mini Pocket. But were we calling this again?
Retronauts Micro.
Retronauts Micro. And this episode.
Proposing fun size. That's all I'm saying.
Fun size.
Krabby candy bar.
This episode was all about Majora's Mask. I am a Majora's Mask super fan, possibly a gaming hipster. You make the call. But I just want to let you know about one of my favorite games that'll be out on the 3DS in the future. And I'm already dating this episode. But if it's out now, let me know how it is. I probably played it.
Don't think. Yeah. Okay, sure.
Yeah. I mean, you could just hold on to this episode and you know, just get back to me at some point. So. How do you reach us? Well, we're Retronauts on everything. Retronauts on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, SoundCloud, YouTube, and Patreon, which is what is funding our podcast. And so many people have given to our podcast. If you can afford just $1 a month to help us, that would be amazing because you are helping us make this show. You're helping us fly Jeremy out, and you are buying our rocket cars and solid gold houses that we're living in and driving around in right now.
And I got to eat almonds.
And Chris got to eat a handful of almonds.
Mm-hmm.
So
damn.
you're feeding a hungry Antista.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, please please give, please share, please like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And as far as where you can find us, I'm Bob Servo on Twitter. You can find me also, I write for US Gamer, and I also write for Something Awful, so check out those sites. And Chris, where can we find you?
LaserTime. We have a website, lasertimepodcast.com. I love the way you said Retronauts and everything. Unfortunately, LaserTime is a little different. Just Google it. We do a pop culture show called LaserTime, a comic book show called Cape Crisis, video game show called Vigigame Apocalypse, and a semi-regular video game music show, VG Empire, and wrestling show called Cheap Popcast. If you'd like to hear shows like that done on an almost weekly basis, hosted by a bunch of dorks from the games industry, that would be your goal. That's your destination. I tried to make that as fast as possible.
That was great. You worked in a lot of podcast names.
I did.
Jeremy, who are you? Where can we find you?
Hi, I'm Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
You can find me on Twitter as GameSpite. Also on the internet as GameSpite.net. And, of course, 9to5 and then some at US Gamer. Also, GameBoyWorld.com is really cool. You should read it.
Yeah, check it out. And yeah, make sure you go to US Gamer. They are our partners in crime or content, as I call it. And so you guys have a good week. We'll see you next week with a new episode. And please look forward to Majora's Mask. And if it's out now, by the time you're listening to this, play it. Play it, for the love of God.
Bob.
Hey, I'm just saying. Later, guys.